From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Patrick Hoskin, in for Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made right here in Rochester, where a thriving and varied artistic scene gives us live music every night, or almost every night. There are plenty of homegrown acts throughout the region, rock and blues and bluegrass and punk and metal and loud and quiet and folky and shambolic and strange. And there are also the transplants, artists who found themselves here in Rochester for various reasons like school or family connections, and those folks stuck around. They're making music, they're working or studying here, they've stayed in Rochester because it offers security so that they can continue to make music and be creative. They found a nice green home base, or now perhaps they just think of it as home. And we're joined this hour by a few of those folks. Kate Rogers is the singer and bassist of the band Bad Bloom. Welcome, Kate.
Thank you.
And DM Stith is a singer, songwriter, composer, and designer. Welcome.
Hi.
And Jack Washburn is the lead guitarist for the Philadelphia-based band Remember Sports, though he's based right here in Rochester. So welcome, Jack.
Thanks for having me.
So I sort of mentioned this a little bit before we started, but a big part of why I'm sort of wanting to have this conversation is I did a piece a couple of years ago for City Magazine where I talked to Peter Hughes. He's the bass player in the Mountain Goats, who, you know, three quarters of that band, apart from him, live in North Carolina. They're a, you know, sort of internationally touring band, but he decided to live here. He actually lived here for a bit, moved away, and then moved back because he liked it so much and he missed it, which I thought was really cool and quaint. So then I kind of started to think, well, who else, you know, like lives here and what's going on? It's a worthwhile conversation. Obviously, feel free to jump in at any point based on anything anybody says. I just kind of wanted to start with you, Kate. I'm going to ask you sort of a dreaded question up front, right? Bad Bloom, perhaps it's a band that a lot of listeners have seen, Bug Jar, Photo City, different places around. How do you describe Bad Bloom, right? When people ask you, like, oh, what kind of band are you in? What do you say? It's a question that people hate, right?
Yeah, that is the question. But I will tell you, it's shoegaze dream pop music. I think that's the easiest way to put it.
Okay, yeah. And you started the band actually before you lived here, right?
Correct. We started it in 2019, kind of right before the pandemic.
And you were living in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Okay. So then what happens where you, I mean, we all know what happens like internationally, right? And the following year, which caused a lot of people to move, myself included. I actually was living in New York at the time and then I moved here in 2020. Mm-hmm. So fairly similar. I think that's kind of a common tale. What was the calculus in wanting to, you're playing in this band, it's based in Brooklyn, and come to Rochester. What was the calculus behind that?
So it was kind of funny. So, you know, obviously we were trapped in New York City. When the pandemic went down, you know, you kind of stayed where you were. Some people left immediately. My husband and I were in our tiny apartment and we didn't know what to do. Both being musicians, we did a series of cover songs, like the two of us, like we were trying to put out music. We were trying to figure out something to keep our bands going and keep our brains to, you know, be sustained and feel better. And then we came to the conclusion, you know, we both had been in the city for 10 years and we decided maybe it was a good time to leave. So what we did was we started weighing the pros and cons. And, you know, I'm from Pittsburgh originally, so I had moved to New York in 2010 and my husband is from Syracuse. So, you know, we had went to New York and formed a relationship in New York in our own separate set of friends. And we decided, you know, if we're going to move, let's move somewhere neutral where we could kind of pick up and start together. And we made a giant list of, it was like a big whiteboard of cities that we could potentially go to. And every day we'd kind of either cross some out or add some more on. And we had heard about Rochester and we have a few friends that have moved from the city here. Our friends Jimmy and Nate, who were in Polar Bear Club at the time, or mm-hmm. before, but, you know, they were successful musicians that had said, hey, you know, we love Rochester. It's a great place for music. And we were thinking about that, and we're like, you know what? We hear Rochester is a great music scene. It seems like a beautiful place. I think I was there once, like 10 years ago, but let's check it out. So that's kind of our thought process.
Is that something that maybe resonates a little bit with you, DM/David, as I will probably end up calling you?
And let's Jack? Just go back and forth the whole
yeah,
time.
Yeah, just confuse people. Does that resonate with you both? Like, it's people kind of in having conversations about this place? Or I know you're, David, you're, I mean, you went to college here.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a little different. And obviously, Jack, we were just talking about you're educated here as well. But is that something that people talk about in the kind of the musician circles you're in?
I'm not a scene person. So I when I started making music, I was kind of living out in the country and played my first show in Barcelona. Like, never played locally until I moved here. So I'm trying to kind of become more of a local artist. It's not why I make music. I don't make music for my neighbors. I make it for me and, you know, wherever it goes. So yeah, I wasn't thinking really about Rochester as like, it needs to be my music home base. It just needed to be one that could, you know, keep David happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about green space and Lake Ontario and food and quiet, that sort of thing. And not so much, is this going to help propel my career? I don't think
right. That
was part of it.
Okay, but that's interesting because, so contrasted with where you were before, which was right before coming here, was that New York as well?
Yeah, I did. I had a stopover at my parents' house in Buffalo. So I grew up in Buffalo, not too far from here.
Okay. And then so putting that together about what this region could provide, you sort of tallied up, okay, we have Great Lakes, you have greenery. This is a place that could really sustain me as a person, which then in turn will help, art that you're making.
I mean, I do think I did the sort of whiteboard thing, although it wasn't with a whiteboard. I didn't have anybody to balance this decision with, so it was purely myself. On my birthday, I was still, during the pandemic, which is my birthday's in June, I took a trip my first time leaving New York, which I'd lived in for 10 years, during the pandemic. I came up here to celebrate my birthday with some friends, and we had to do it outdoors, of course, and we ended up, I got out of my rental car at the beach, and my friends handed me a cocktail, and I walked out about 100 feet into the lake, and I sat there for like an hour. So that, for me, that was it. That was the reason that I moved up here. It's just like a very simple, like, this place is here. There's a purity to it. There's space for me. Mm-hmm. I think that those were really profound feelings coming from New York.
Yeah, I could see that. Jack, yours is obviously a little different because mm-hmm. you essentially came here from Philadelphia uh-huh. for a specific purpose, which was to go to school. Or as I mentioned, as your bandmate Carmen said on Instagram, you are moving to Rochester to make your brain bigger.
Exactly, yep. So my brain is much bigger now.
How much?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. yeah, I don't know. There's definitely a lot of commonalities with kind of the paths as shared by David and Kate. I didn't have any real relationship with Rochester for most of my life. I grew up in the Boston area, and then I lived in Philadelphia for a while, and that's where I was kind of came into my own as someone playing music and was involved in a music community out there a lot. Through that, I had kind of, that's sort of what put Rochester on the map in the first place, is just that I knew a lot of friends out there who had been working Rochester as a stop into their tours. Mm. And I, that happened for me as well, a handful of times playing out here.
So you played here with your band Remember Sports?
I played here with Remember Sports and a couple other groups. It was all at Small World Books back in I don't know, 2016, 17, 18. 19, I don't know, someone mm-hmm. like that.
Okay.
Those couple of years.
So that's you stopped through town as a touring musician.
Yeah, yeah, and I didn't really have any relationship with Rochester prior to that, but I had really positive associations with it through that, and then I got to know people, and I had some friends from Philadelphia who moved out here, and so it was a little bit of a pandemic-motivated, like, restlessness, and also had been thinking about going back to school for a little while, and I was like, hey, you know, let me just throw Rochester in the mix and see if it feels right. It was a little bit of a roll of the dice, but I knew some people playing music out here and kind of had heard good things about a music community, but it was less, as David said, about like, making a smart, career choice music-wise.
Right.
It was more just like, let me mix it up and see how it feels. And it's been feeling good.
Yeah. And like not to like oversimplify, but like none of you moved here like for a big break, right? Like this is the reasons are very different for moving to Rochester. In your case, David, that's, sort of, and I guess maybe in everyone's case, there's this reason of feeding your soul or just like feeling comfortable, having, fresh air, walking into the lake, you know, sitting, drinking a cocktail, whatever the case may be, which is maybe not able to be done in certain places. So there, but there is that element to everyone's sort of story, which is, and it seems like the pandemic, obviously, kind of larger narrative in this makes people reevaluate things that are important to them. And I think that that's, you know, myself included, as I mentioned, that kind of drove my decision to relocate here as well. So,
Well, I think too, you know, you talked about New York is a place where artists thrive and where, you know, when I was young, I thought I had to be in New York City or else nothing will happen. And I did that and I moved there primarily to do music. But I think in moving here, having the flexibility and the space to not have to pay a bazillion dollars in rent, to experiment a little more, to not put everything on the line just to necessarily make music. Like, I have a freedom here that I didn't have in New York City. And New York has changed, but New York will always change. I think living somewhere like here where you have time to meet people, you have time to spend, you know, just fostering your creativity and sitting, having a cocktail. But like that resonated so hard with me because I think when you're in New York, you don't – it's for me at least, 100% anxiety all of the time. I mean, it's nice. It's beautiful. You can smell the air. It's beautiful in Rochester. Mm-hmm. So just throwing that in there.
I love that. That's great. We're talking with Kate Rogers from Bad Bloom. We're talking with Jack Washburn of the Philadelphia-based band Remember Sports. And we're talking to DM Stith, singer-songwriter, composer, and designer.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure we got all those in there, too. But also the last one's kind of germane, too, because now we're talking about, you know, we're talking about things in addition to just the creative pursuits. There's also like the day jobs, right? We're talking, and in your case, you're a designer.
Yeah.
You've been doing that for a long time, right? Is that what you went to college for?
I did. Yeah. I have a degree in, I guess it's just studio art. But yeah, graphic design in New York. I mostly did freelance for the last 20 years, but I took a 3-year break from freelance and worked at the Met Museum as a designer there. Now I'm working as a director of communications at Asbury First, a big United Methodist Church and Outreach Center downtown. But yeah, I've freelanced in the music industry for a long time. And it's harder and harder to make money as a musician because there's less money in the music industry. And that applies to working as a designer for the music industry as well. So moving here was part of a bigger reconfiguration in my life. Figuring out how to spend my time more wisely so that I wasn't so worn out that I couldn't write.
Mm-hmm. Is that somewhat universal too, a little bit, just to give yourself a rest? I mean, Kate, you already said, sort of mentioned this, but do you find that too, Jack?
It resonates. Yeah. I definitely, you know, had imagined Rochester as a place that would allow me a little bit more space to being less overwhelmed, I guess, a little bit by everything that was going on in a place like Philadelphia or New York. Enjoying being outside and walking around.
And it's interesting, too, because, like, your band is still together. Remember, Sports
yes.
still together.
Yeah.
But none of the other – there's four members, right? None of the other three live here in Rochester.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting dynamic, right? You want to get together and record. You go off and do that in a different place, whether that's Philadelphia or somewhere else. How does that work with songwriting and recording, though? Is it just putting time aside and meeting
it's sort of up? Yeah, it's sort of like what David was saying about thinking about it in the context of, like, a larger reconfiguration. Of our, you know, lives. We spent a solid chunk of years in Philadelphia, you know, the four of us in the band all living there and being a very active band that was touring a fair amount. And kind of around the time of the pandemic, we, you know, there were lots of life changes happening. Now we're spread out. I'm out here. Two of them are still in Philadelphia and one is in Boston. And the band is still active. We're still really feel really grateful to be doing it, and we're still keeping busy. But it was sort of this feeling that things could be happening at a different pace. You know, that we put in the years of like establishing, I guess, ourselves, and it feels kind of nice to go at your own pace. And so we've, you know, done a couple tours over the last couple of years, but we're not like structuring our lives kind of around it in the same way as we once were. And we're working on music and things, but it's just kind of, we get together for long weekends a few times a year and things like that. It's it makes it feel really, really feel like a big relief when we are able to do it, because we're not as, I don't know, I don't want to say burnt out, because obviously I loved being a part of everything that I was doing in Philadelphia, but it makes it feel a little more special.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. And intentional, and like you have a little bit more control over it, I would imagine. That's big. And to your point earlier, Kate, you were mentioning like it, you know, just feeling like you don't have to be anxiety 100% of the time, 24/7 while living here. It's a little bit more of an exhale as opposed to like, you know, more frantic. Do you find that is borne out in the music you've made since moving here? I mean, or maybe just even the process of it, does it feel, I don't know, more easier or less like you have to, I don't know, leave so much of yourself on the table or something like that? Is it just, does it feel like healthier, maybe is a word to use?
I think it's just more accessible. For instance, I don't have to drag my amp down the road or hail a cab to get somewhere. I can go to practice in my basement instead of commuting with all of my gear on my back on the subway. I mean, access to recording studios, you're not paying those crazy fees and competing to get in someone's studio. I mean, I think it's just like, it's so, and you know, you become friends. I love the music community here. I'm number one. I started, you know, a website that is like all about bringing the music community together, because I am so impressed by just the connections. But everybody's so kind. And so I want to go to the recording studio with the person that also plays in a band that I really, really like. And I want to help other musicians with things. And I just think that's, long story short, you just have more time to feel excited about things and to do things you actually want to do instead of waiting in line.
Okay, that's an interesting way. But can you talk a little bit more about starting up that site too? And maybe, I mean, feel free to plug it. But it's an interesting thing too, right? To be someone coming into an artistic community, a sort of a scene, and then now to be in the position you're in, where you actually get to really highlight what you're doing. I mean, that's what was the idea to start that up?
Yeah. So it's called The Sound, and I noticed I actually started with Allegra, my friend Allegra, and basically. When I came here, I realized like there's so many cool venues, but no one knows what the heck is going on. And so I'd be trying to look for shows, and I'd been trying to figure it out. And I was like, we have to change this. So basically what it is I do all of the show listings on Instagram for the week. And then I have a website, which basically has, you know, all the music shops, all the record stores, a local band directory, you know, submit your shows. Like just, you know, it's hard. I do work a day job. I don't have that many hours in a day, but I try as best I can to keep up and keep everybody informed about what the heck's going on here, because we have so much cool stuff happening.
Kate, you are my hero. I love that site.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
I did not know that was you.
Yeah.
Give it a follow. I follow it too.
Cool.
Great.
And I will say, like, yeah, having moving here and kind of seeing that was available as somebody who wanted to start going to shows, it was a great resource. So thank you for your service. And, you know, the music industry sort of got brought up a couple minutes ago. There's something in the New York Times Magazine very recently. Elizabeth Nelson wrote, per the Recording Industry Association of America, streaming currently accounts for 84% of revenue from recorded music. One estimate had streaming platforms paying an average of $0.00173 per stream. More recent numbers have it at $0.0046 per stream. Either way, a majority of that princely sum is typically captured by record labels, while the artist is left to make do with the remainder. I will save you the trouble of getting out your calculator. What this means is that it is essentially impossible for all but a glancingly small number of musicians to make meaningful income from their recordings, right?
Yes.
So this is, I just feel like this kind of backdrops a lot of conversations in the industry. So this is enthusiastic response from David. So.
You can't see it, but I'm blushing right now. Yeah, it's hard. I don't know what else you want me to say. I mean, there's a fight that's been going on for the last 15, 20 years to just raise awareness about it. And we have a few champions in government, but, you know, it's slow. It's slow moving. Independent artists have a hard time making a living at it, making music, selling music. And part of the goal of being a musician or an independent artist is getting greater exposure. There's this idea that the better the exposure, the more sustainable your situation will be. But in order to get more exposure, you have to lean on these companies that are taking even a higher percentage than the smaller ones. So even the musicians I know that are maybe household names are struggling, and they look for kind of magic money, you know, start writing music for shows or ballets or movies or whatever to try to kind of support their art. Yeah, we're not going to solve it in this program. It's just a problem that's there. There's not enough of a sense of value for the practice of music making and recording, and it's an extremely expensive and time-consuming endeavor. So, I don't know. We do it because we have to. It's that famous Gillian Welch song, "Everything is free now." That's what they say. We're going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm. And being able to be in a place where you feel a little bit more secure, where you can go outside, get the fresh air, don't have to lug your amp, I would imagine ever so slightly perhaps from an outsider's perspective may take the sort of the burden, the mental anguish of those statistics, make them just ever so slightly smaller.
Yeah, it helps. It does help. I moved up here after I had a 3 or 4 year sort of not writer's block, but a writer's drought. And moved up here and wrote 3 albums in about a year.
Wow.
That is not normal for me. I think that there's just so much energy in the day-to-day spent in big cities when you have lower income, fending off, you know, exhaustion, fatigue from walking to the subway, standing in the subway, living in a place that doesn't have great air quality or air conditioning, or living with a lot of roommates. I had 9. Roommates.
Had 9 roommates.
And no insulation. There's just little ways and big ways that your energy is zapped. And so your free time is spent taking a nap or cramming food in your mouth. Whereas here, I've been able to gain a few pounds. I've been able to decide I'm going to exercise certain amounts of time a day. I read a little bit every day. I mean, there's just a lot more free time because of... I don't know. Things don't take so much effort to get to. I don't know. Just the intensity of life here is so much lower.
Mm, okay. And so to that point, what keeps you all here? I mean, there's you know, Jackie, you were mentioning you completed your degree. Mm. You were in no rush to leave.
Oh, yeah, no.
So what are some of the things that you found? A lot of it I'm hearing is the people, it's the opportunities, but are there favorite places? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. We've sung the praises of Lake Ontario and it's like healing properties, but anything else? I'm just curious, like, you know, what...
That's not scientifically proven, by the way.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a lot? Just kind of going to a place and knowing people? Is it, you know, you're becoming a regular, kind of settling in, that
Definitely.
Kind of stuff?
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, I think it... took a little while for that to feel like it was happening for me, because that's not a process that happens overnight. And so, yeah, I think maybe the first year or so I was out here, I always enjoyed the environment, but didn't feel as much of a connection to it.
Mm.
But now I've been out here 3 years, and in the time since then, I feel a lot more like a part of a community, and it's just a smaller city than I've ever lived in, and in the best way it feels like it. Mm-hmm. Feels like I see people I know everywhere and feel comfortable walking around and have my places, and and like David said, also just getting around is easy.
Yeah.
Short distances.
And there's no shortage of shows, as Kate well knows.
That's sad as well.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Here on Connections, I'm being joined by Kate Rogers from Bad Bloom, Jack Washburn from Remember Sports, and DM Stith, singer-songwriter. We'll be right back after this break. From WXXI News, you're listening to Connections. I'm Patrick Hoskin, and for Evan Dawson, we're speaking with Kate Rogers, Jack Washburn, DM Stith, musicians living here locally in Rochester. Feel free to join the conversation, by the way. The number is 844-295-8255. The local number is 585-263-9994, or you can email us connections@wxxi.org. Here's one thing. So I mentioned earlier Peter Hughes from Mountain Goats. One of the things that he said to me when I talked to him a couple years ago about why he lives here, things he likes to do. We were talking about Wayo earlier. He's mm-hmm. got a show on Wayo, which is really cool. It's called Northern Gothic. I think it's Thursday mornings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just interesting ways of musicians sort of getting involved in the community, doing interesting things. He said this. I sort of asked him, like, you know, why you live here? Why did you come back living here after moving away? And he said, Rochester is genuinely weird. And I don't think people celebrate that enough or even recognize it enough. I think people that have lived here their whole lives don't appreciate how unique that is. So I know the word weird has been like politically tainted and sort of loaded, I guess is probably a better word to say. It's become very loaded in the past few weeks. But is that something that resonates? Is there positive weirdness that comes out? You see people nodding, which is good. What does that look like here? Is that people? Is that places?
I think it's expression. Like, I don't know. There's just freedom here. And I don't know if it's just me, but it just seems like everybody has, even more so than New York. I think in New York, people tried to like live up to this certain thing, whether that was like, I'm in a Brooklyn band or I'm a professional or whatever. But here, people just kind of do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. We were talking about before the show experimental stage things like making sandwiches on stage and things like that. I mean, it's like easy because you can put your cooler in the car and you can, you know, do it. And if you're weird, people will just say, mm-hmm. that was weird. That's cool though. And I think it's embraced.
I agree. And thinking about the Carbon Fest that happened last week. Joe Tunis runs this great label in town, and they celebrate the weird, the drony, the difficult. A small city that has more, I think, fringe artists than – not fringe festival artists, but artists on the outskirts of what is popular. There's not a lot of popular music coming out of here. It's a lot more esoteric. Mm-hmm. Individual.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And to your point when you brought up earlier, so you wrote and recorded three albums, or you wrote three albums shortly after moving here?
They're mostly recorded. One of them came out. Fata Morgana came out last year? Is it a year? I don't remember. So that one I wrote and recorded here. There's two others that are mostly recorded. I just need to mix them.
And what do you think accounts for being able to have that outpouring? Just a lot of just being able to feel like your shoulders are a little bit lighter?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's my nervous system. I think I was just overwhelmed. For me, New York was stressful. I moved there with a pit in my stomach 15 years ago now. It was the only place I knew I could find a job. And I don't think I ever fully adjusted to that. I think I always felt sort of overwhelmed, and I was just sort of scooping the foam off the top all the time to keep from completely spilling over. So since being up here, I think there's just kind of it's just an internal thing that's been able to kind of realign, to calm down, to lower expectations, or just shift my focus onto more personal goals.
Mm-hmm. When you were at Roberts Wesleyan, were you making music then too?
No, I'd never made music. No, I was secretly making music. I would sneak off to the music building and play piano at night, but I did not let anybody know that I was doing that.
And then how long did it take for you to kind of get to a place where you felt comfortable sharing, felt collaborative with people?
I came out as a musician at 26 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it was late. And then, yeah, it was a very fast thing. I was living in New York at the time.
Okay.
I had inherited some recording software from Shara Nova, records under the name My Brightest Diamond. She gave me this recording software, and it just became the introvert's way of starting to record or starting to work on music. And 2 years later, I was signed to big record label and flying around the world and all that. So I never had the kind of local artist experience. So I'm trying to figure that out here. I'm inspired by people who are able to integrate their social life with their music life. That's something I struggle with. So I knew I had good friends up here waiting for me to be a musician up here for once. So it's been pretty fulfilling for me to be kind of out as my artist self. It sounds so funny, but I was a really shy kid growing up. So it's really kind of a psychological balancing for me to be up here.
Music and social lives, that they feel in sync for you both, for Jack and Kate? That's here specifically, it feels like a good balance, like they're very much expanding your circles in both regards, or just kind of you have a really good circle of folks?
Yeah. I feel like in New York, I kept those things separate. So I have a day job, as I mentioned, and a big part of my life is my career that I always had to keep separate from my social life. And so I had my music friends and then I had my work friends, and that usually didn't cross over. And I remember even just like thinking about that so much because it felt so different, and it was really hard to maintain sometimes just because I didn't want to, you know, my boss to see me, you know, staying out till 2 a.m. playing at a show. But here it just feels like, maybe that's because my job is remote and I don't really, you know, have that. But here it just feels like, you know, you go to the coffee shop, you see your friends, they're musicians, they're probably playing later. And maybe that's just because those are the only people I know here and I should expand my network. But I just feel like that's, I'm immersed in it and people are doing cool things. And I think that overlaps the artists here too, because our art scene is amazing and impressive and incredible as well. So,
yeah. And those two often, I mean, there's a record fair coming up to benefit WAIO that is also like an art fair. I mean, those are very much sort of go hand in hand, and often folks are very much in both communities. They'll display their artwork and their band is playing, and you know, occasional peanut butter sandwich being made as well. Like there's a lot of
just maybe, yeah,
if you're lucky.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, that's all interesting to hear, because like the low cost of living was brought up. I feel like that's mm-hmm. a big thing comparatively to New York City or a major. Something that I was curious to hear from you, Jack, about. Mm-hmm. Being a little bit further west than Philadelphia, Philadelphia obviously has proximity to New York City, a lot of these other, sure. you know, like major West Coast cities. Does that, was that a hard adjustment just in terms of like musically or maybe even seeing bands? I mean, that's kind of a separate thing, right? Mm-hmm. There's the conversation we're having a lot of is about homegrown artists or local artists. There's the other thing about like, you know, touring musicians coming right. to town. Sometimes they don't play here.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're in Buffalo, which is not that far. Sometimes they're in Syracuse, not that far.
Right.
But anyway, did you find, was that a hard adjustment or an interesting adjustment to come from Philadelphia?
Yeah, I guess it's an interesting adjustment. I've noticed more living here to that phenomenon that you're acknowledging of it not factoring into a lot of larger bands or artists touring routes. But as you said, also, you know, people make the trek to Buffalo or Toronto or whatever it may be. Yeah, I don't know. It feels a little removed from these kind of East Coast large cities, like of course New York, Philadelphia, Boston, where I'm from. And I really associate it a lot more with kind of a Midwest feeling. Mm.
That's something that's come up a lot. I've heard folks say that. So someone like referred to Rochester as like the gateway to the Midwest, because it's like we're uh-huh. we're not really East Coast, right?
Right.
Our food delicacies are like heavily meat and potatoes, are, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, but that's, yeah, I could definitely see that. What about like, actually, you know what? I mentioned email. Here's an interesting email I received today. From a longtime musician and music educator here in Rochester, Ned Corman. He's the namesake of the Ned Corman Educators Award, which is now given by the Rochester Music Hall of Fame. He sort of shared his own experience of coming here and planting his roots. I just want to read this. He says, "I first came to Rochester in 1955 to matriculate at Eastman School of Music and stayed on to teach in Greece School District, leaving in 1963 for grad school at Penn State and 3 years on the road." That's in quotes. "I returned in 1968 primarily to teach in Penfield School District. Secondarily, I was drawn by multiple performing opportunities. Chuck Mangione, with whom I continued to work while away, Rochester Philharmonic, Town and Country Playhouse, Summer Stock Broadway, Rochester Broadway Theater League, Garth Fagan Dance, a busy though not flourishing recording industry at the time." And you mentioned returning to Rochester became all the richer when Mariana and Bill Toller founded City Magazine in 1971. So thank you, Ned, for that email. And just mm-hmm. a shout out to Mariana Toller for for co-founding City, also a transplant herself. She was from the Southern Appalachians. So a lot of interesting, I don't know, the transplant idea kind of comes through. I wanted to bring up one thing about things that you all have going on, because we're talking about local artists, right? You're all local artists. Feel free, before we get cut off, right, and there's no time at the end of the show to do this, mm-hmm. where can people see you? Let's talk about that now, because I also, and any projects you have coming up, we can get that on the table now, partly because I think that also might take us in some interesting directions. I don't want to cram it at the end. But yes, Bad Bloom has a show coming up just in a few days, right?
Yeah, it's the 17th, I believe, at Psychic Garden. We just got back from a weekend's little run, and we have a bunch of weekends out of town coming up. We're playing here, though, on the 17th. So.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Anything yeah. for you, Jack?
Yeah, so I play in two bands in town. One is called Comfy, and this is the band who made the sandwiches that we've been referencing. We're playing two shows on Friday night at a Bar Bad Ending and then at Lux. And we play pretty frequently in town. I also play in a band in town called $1 Million, but we don't have anything kind of on the books right now.
Okay, that's fair enough.
But keep your eyes peeled.
And I have nothing on the books. If you come over to my house, I'll play you something. I just delivered, just restocked my vinyl at Needle Drop and at Bop Shop. So go buy my records.
Now, do you hand deliver those?
I did, yeah. There? Yeah, that's the nice thing about living in a small town like this. You bump into, you know, Tom from Bop Shop, and he says, oh, we're out of your stuff. Can you bring more over?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's nice to be on first name basis with the record shop owners. It's something that I think to walk into a store and the owner is there mm-hmm. doing the store is so rare. So we're lucky. We're lucky to be a city with good record shops and good bookstores that are thriving. Culture here is happening and people are digesting it even if you don't see it.
Now, how does that relationship start? Because that's kind of an interesting thing to be. I imagine the path from starting and meeting these folks who run these shops to them carrying your work is probably not all that, you know, it's not I would imagine that's not a long, super long process, but how does that start?
In the case of the Bop Shop, it started because I had friends from New York and LA that were coming through town and I got to play host. So I helped them find a gig, ended up being at the Bop Shop. I helped them find food. I helped them see the town while they were here, took them to the House of Guitars and to the lake. Got to show off the town. And in doing so, I had coffee with Tom at the Bop Shop. And he said, what are you? And, you do music? Oh, you do design? Oh, you do all this stuff? Who are you? So he told me to come by and bring records. But that's one thing. I never, in New York, when a band was coming through town, you're like, well, good luck. You know, I can't help. You know, the city's too big for me to help you with anything, except maybe give you a map. But here, you can take time to actually, like, make sure they have their food, make sure they have mm-hmm. breakfast, you know, tell them where to go for trees and walks and water and all that stuff. So it's fun to get to show off this town a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And do you agree? When you have folks come into town, you, like, sort of revel in that?
I've definitely had that experience, yeah, playing host. And it's nice. Yeah, it's nice to feel like I am a little bit more comfortable showing people around and hosting them. It's comfy.
I remember the comfy. I remember the the opposite. Going when I lived in New York, going to people's houses and playing on the road and being like, wow, you have a kitchen table. Yeah. And you're making me coffee and breakfast in the morning. And, you know, in New York, like you said, you could never host anybody. You gave them a map. Maybe you went to their show. But I remember just, like, wanting that and feeling so happy. So when bands come in, even if we don't know them, we're like, come on. Mm-hmm. I'll make you breakfast.
And yeah. So hosting is good. Where, what about, like, okay, someone's in town. I'm going to give them the full Rochester experience. Where do you take them?
Ugly Duck for coffee.
Okay.
Or Hydra. Hydra's good, too.
Hydra.
Mm. Cure and Good Luck are my foodie places. Mm-hmm. Okay. But there's so many good foodie places. Vern's.
I love Vula's.
Vula's. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, these are good because I also my birthday is this weekend, so I'm actually going to write down and maybe I can write it down.
Got a Google spreadsheet for you.
Oh, excellent! Yeah, I'll have to get that after the show. Yeah, and so the other thing about I actually wanted to ask you, Kate. So you moved here with your bandmate Jay, who's your husband.
Yes. Then
there's the two other members of Bad Bloom. Were they folks that were living here that you ended up kind of linking up with, or what was the deal with kind of rounding it out to be like a four-piece band?
Yeah, sure. So Travis Johansson plays drums. He works at the MAG, actually. And he's an amazing drummer. He was born and raised here. And then Jen is actually from Utica. So she moved here a few years back, too, and she's our guitarist. She's an amazing, amazing guitarist. So that's the crew. And we're so happy because, you know, in New York, it's really hard to find good bandmates that you actually love, too. And we're happy to have that here.
And that was they sort of joined after you had relocated back here.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What were some of those like initial, I don't know, like those initial sessions like of just like everybody feeling like, OK, this is our new, like we're a Rochester band now. We're like a four piece. I don't know. That's kind of that feels like a very definitive kind of evolution of the band.
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, we had members before in Rochester that had helped us. We didn't know a lot of people. So, you know, we had our friend Jimmy come in for a while. We had our friend Adam come in for a while. It was a rotating list, which, you know, it gets really hard because you want where, you know, I'm in the train of thought where it's like your bandmates, you're a collective and you're a unit. And this is the first time that Jay and I were kind of, you know, we have the music, but we need people to, we wanted them to be a part of it, but it was really hard to figure that out. And so, yeah, we did go through a lot of maybe a couple years of rotating band members until we found this lineup. And it gets, you know, you figure it out. It's not an overnight thing. Your band, you know, evolves and your sound shifts. But I think at the end of the day, like, we should all be doing that as musicians, evolving and growing and challenging, because the more people you play with, the more challenging and, you know, you become a better musician.
Mm-hmm. And Jack, you know, you talked about playing in a couple different bands here. Mm-hmm. Were those connections you had prior to moving here? Or were those some of the folks that you knew that maybe helped you kind of end up here in the first place?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a special case. They're friends I've had for a little while prior to living here. Introduced me to a lot of people out here.
Okay.
So I've kind of kept those going. They were both active bands in Philadelphia, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they sort of, they let you know that it was possible
to make
this life for yourself.
More or less, yeah.
Okay. And what about when you first started to play locally with some of these groups? Mm-hmm. I mean, were those some of those like first couple gigs like?
Real special, yeah. There's just such a supportive environment, and it feels so, I don't know, supportive.
Well, that seems to be a word.
That's kind of the word. Yeah,
you.
That's the word. Yeah. But yeah, I just felt pretty comfortable pretty quickly. It's just a, you know, a small group of people that you're seeing all over, and they really, you know, seem to genuinely want to, you know, see your band. It's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
And then I would imagine that fosters an attitude of wanting to continue on. And even
right.
if things, okay, it's tough to be in a band. We sort of talked about, you know, the challenges. But if you're getting a positive feedback, you're playing with friends, for friends, all
exactly.
that stuff, I imagine it creates a positive momentum that you then try to follow.
Exactly. Yeah. There's maybe less of a kind of competitive nature that you might encounter elsewhere.
Okay, that's an interesting point. So is that something that has impeded bands or just your own musical aspirations in the past? And that's sort of an open question, but
I don't know that I have a whole lot to say on that. Maybe that was a loaded word to throw out there.
But obviously the atmosphere between a competitive
sure.
situation and a supportive one, as you said, is
right.
is different. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's what builds great music scenes, though. You look at Philadelphia, you look at New York. I mean, when you have a lot of good talent coming out of somewhere, you're uplifting each other, because if one band, you know, goes far and people like Joywave, you know, people recognize that that band is from Rochester. And mm-hmm. I think the more talent a city can produce, that sounds so corporate, and I don't mean for it to sound like that, but I think the more recognizing Rochester as a scene that is creative, beautiful, growing, with a lot of talent that wants to be a part of it, and not competing, but working together so that you can have more resources and you can build more venues or whatever it takes to build a music scene up. I think that's really important.
Okay. Yeah. And is that, you find that to be different here than, I mean, New York is a hard comparison, right? Because you're talking about one of the like largest music things, but is that feels particular to here, the support or just based on your personal experiences?
I mean, I think it's so, they're totally different things. I think established music cities are, you know, they are that way for a reason. And I think there's little spots around the world that have their little scenes and whatever. But for me, Rochester has been a place where I'm actually able to do something where it doesn't feel drowned or clouded or oversaturated. People, like you said, people come to shows because they want to see you. And people support and they're excited. And in New York, you're so tired. There's 20 shows a night.
Yeah. And it takes an hour to get to each one.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, David, you said you played your first show in Barcelona.
Yeah.
What was the story behind that? I just have to come back to
that. Oh, my gosh.
Especially knowing that you started your musical career sort of by sneaking and playing piano in the midnight hour away from listening ears.
Yeah, I'm just a little fan of the opera. I was really nervous. I was really shy. I got signed to Asthmatic Kitty, which is Sufjan Stevens' record label, Sight Unseen. They heard my music. Well, Sufjan had seen me. We were hanging out a lot. But they told me, they signed me I had never played a show. I had just been recording. And they said, no pressure, but we'd like you to try, and we're going to try to make it fun for you. So you're going to fly with your friend to Barcelona and play a show there. And so that was my first show. What more do you want to know?
I mean, was it terrifying? I was going to say, was it terrifying?
I was sick for 6 months beforehand. I didn't know I was supposed to bring my own guitar cables. I didn't know what a sound check was. But yeah, I mean, the bug stuck. No, that's not the phrase to use. I don't know. It kept happening. I kept doing them, and now I love doing it. Whatever. It worked.
Did I read also on your first album, Heavy Ghost, that came out, I think, 15 years ago?
Oh, my gosh. Is it really? 2009, I think? Yeah. 15 years.
There's some interesting instrumentation on that record. I think I remember reading an old interview where you said, and maybe it was Sufjan who played like a fan on it. Like he ran a nickel across a fan.
That was me.
You played that. Okay.
I played that. What did he play? He played some piano runs that I couldn't quite get.
Okay.
That's mainly what he did. But he helped to make the record happen. My dad was a wind ensemble conductor, and the band, the wind ensemble that he worked for had like percussion rehearsal room. All of the percussion in that record, with the exception of one song, is just me locked in a room playing anything I could reach.
Wow. So that includes a fan.
Yes, includes a fan.
And that also brings up something, like I would imagine being here, from what your setup sounds like, David, a lot of it can just be homemade or like, you know, kind of at home recordings, whatever it feels like. Is that, and we talked a little bit about space, but like having space, I guess, is probably a huge thing.
Yeah.
Like just being able to be like, I have a free second, I'm going to play music. I can just walk over here to my home/apartment where, you know, where I have room for it. That's probably a big part of being here too.
It's funny because my first instrument was trumpet. And I played for years and years up until college. And then my dad gave me my trumpet. He was holding it in Pittsburgh for a while and I got it back. So now I don't know if my neighbors are going to hear me, but I can toot anytime I want. So noise too.
Mm-hmm. Noise. Yeah. And that also great word for here. We talked about the Carbon Festival, right?
Oh, yeah.
A lot of noisy acts from both here, but also coming out of town and doing that. Sort of finally, are there things that you would say to, or perhaps have said to folks who are thinking about, or they're just like, man, I'm just so burned out of being in this place. And you say, I don't know, you should check out Rochester. Mm-hmm. Are there things, are there go-to things that you say, or are you trying to keep it secret?
Oh, I want my friends here.
Yeah.
I want my friends here. I give the spiel. I just let them know. For me, the thing that keeps me here is porch hangs. Going over to a friend's house, you know, sitting on the porch until the wee hours of the morning. That's just something you can't do in a big city very easily. So I feel I feel like the city sells itself if they have time to spend here.
Yeah. Yeah. That what is the porch hangs for both of you? Did you all have one thing that's like the thing for David? It's porch hangs. Collective community.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would second what David had to say there. Porch hangs. And
yeah, I'm also adding that to my birthday.
Yeah.
List,
porch hangs. I like it.
I like that. I like coffee shop hangs. I like going to the coffee shop and there's already a group of friends sitting there and then you just join in.
Oh, that's great. Okay, cool. Well, thank you so much to my guests for joining today. We had Kate Rogers, the singer and bassist from the band Bad Bloom. We had Jack Washburn, the guitar player from the Philadelphia-based band Remember Sports. We had DM Stith, singer-songwriter, composer, and designer.
Yeah.
And thank you all for being here. I've been Patrick Hoskins, sitting in for Evan Dawson here on Connections. Thank you for listening to member-supported public radio.